All right, as I mentioned earlier, we're in Colossians chapter 4 now, just for a little bit. We'll start with verse 2. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Tychicus will tell you all about my activities. He is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and a fellow servant in the Lord. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage your hearts. And with him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that has taken place here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you, and Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, concerning whom you have received instruction. If he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justice. These are the only men of the circumcision among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have been a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that he may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has worked hard, and for those who are in Laodicea and Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, greets you, as does Demas. Give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her home. And when this letter has been read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and see that you also read the letter from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, see that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you all. Amen. D.L. Moody, the great evangelist preacher from Chicago, founded the Moody Bible Institute that's still running and so on, was once in Scotland, and he was invited to address a boys' school. There are several hundred boys in attendance, and he started by asking them, what is prayer? And he was stunned that nearly every hand in the room went up. And he called on one particular boy, and he said, prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God for things agreeable to his will in the name of Christ, with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of his mercies, which Moody recognized as the answer to question 98 of the Westminster Shorter Catechism. And he said, son, thank God that you were born in Scotland. At that time, still in Scotland, they taught the catechism. And it was a useful tool for learning these things. You know, sometimes you ask, what is prayer? It's difficult. You can get different answers, but having sort of a track, even knowing some parts of those answers, makes things easier to explain, to say them with some kind of clarity, which Paul asks the Colossians to pray for him, that I might speak the message with clarity. How can we be clear? Well, sometimes it just gives us some language to sort of be rooted in as we look at that. Obviously, I haven't memorized it since I just read it to you. I worked on it this week, but memorizing has never been a strong suit of mine, and it certainly isn't now, but very important. So they understood what prayer was, but there's a difference between understanding it and doing it. You know, the Colossians certainly understood what prayer was. But Paul charges them, really, at this point, be steadfast. Continue steadfast in your prayers. Now, what does that mean? I think certainly it might mean more than this, but it doesn't mean less than keep at it. Right? Keep at it. Keep doing it. Continue steadfast in your prayer. Keep at it. It's easy to leave off praying. One of the most frightening sermons I've ever read and I'm sure I've recommended it to you at various times, and probably none of you have read it, which is okay, because you'll lose sleep. It's a sermon by Jonathan Edwards called Hypocrites Deficient in the Duty of Private Prayer. And in it, Edwards talks about how easy it is to leave off prayer for a day or so. But once you leave it off for a day, it's easy to go 2 days and then to go a week. And soon you're not really praying at all, other than maybe when you're with other believers, when we pray together in church or something like that. And you start to not even miss it and notice that it's absent. And he said, yet prayer is so essential an aspect of the Christian life that something is really terribly lacking. And he makes you think, perhaps I'm a hypocrite and was never a Christian at all. Or if I am, I certainly need to get back into this practice of praying. Continue steadfast. Keep at it. I think so, one of the reasons that it is so easy to get away from, to leave off, or in some cases, for some Christians, never really to start, is never to pick up this particular spiritual discipline, is because it is a discipline. It's a practice, something we need to practice and to do with some regularity. But I think the real problem, at least as I've encountered it, and this might not speak to all of you, but maybe to some, and probably maybe some people if they're struggling with prayer, I generally find one of two things. They've either sort of bought into the idea that prayer is easy and feel badly that they can't do it, or they've made it way too hard to be able to keep up with it. Now, let me explain those a little bit. I know I've told you before, I don't remember where I've read this, but I've read it on a number of occasions. I don't know who first said it, and I wouldn't probably use his name anyway because I'm about to disagree strongly with him. Someone once said, and it has been often repeated, that prayer is as natural to the Christian as crying is to the baby. Now, doesn't that make you feel guilty? Because babies all know how to cry. And you're maybe not so hot at prayer. At least you're not as good at prayer as your babies are at crying. We all know that. We've been together. We hear crying babies. We rarely go a week without one, which I think is a blessing. It's a family gathering. Families are noisy. Babies are noisy. It happens. All noise at one end, no responsibility at the other. Both reasons you have to sometimes take them out. But prayer is as natural. Let me tell you what's wrong with that. The simplest way, I think, to see that there's something deeply and terribly flawed with that line of thinking, prayer is as natural to the Christian as crying is to the baby, is if that were true, how come the one time the 12 guys who were closest to Jesus came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray? Right? We have no record of them ever saying, Lord, teach us to cry. Teach our babies how to cry. They knew that. But they came and said, Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus didn't say, if you're following me, it just comes naturally. It comes naturally as crying to a baby. Jesus didn't rebuke them. He taught them. And he taught them a prayer that we still use, very significant prayer, and gave us an outline of prayer. So Jesus understood that prayer wasn't easy. He seemed actually genuinely pleased that they were asking him for some instruction in this area. So it's not easy. It doesn't just come naturally. It's a spiritual discipline. We have to train ourselves in it and discipline ourselves toward it. But that being said, what happens, in my experience anyway, far too often, is then people say, all right, so then they go off the deep end this other way. They read maybe a book about prayer or go to a great prayer seminar, and maybe it's not Bob Allums who's coming, Lord willing, next month, and I'm excited about it. I hope that you are too, and Manny's going to be here for us. I'll be here for Sunday school. And Bob always talks about prayer, and I love hearing Bob talk about prayer because he's excited about prayer and he's good at it, but he brings it down to a level that we can understand and that we can do. What I mean by making it too hard is, for example, I've known people over the years who grew up in a church that used, this is the King James Bible. And so they get the idea that that's how God talks. You know, and if we're going to talk to God, we have to say, you know, oh, thou great giver of every good gift, bestow upon, you know, and they start bringing in all this King James language, which is okay if you know it. But I find many people don't know that language. We don't talk that way. You know, we weren't born in the 16th century. We don't have that vocabulary. We think, all right, we can't really pray because we don't speak that dialect. And that is clearly the dialect of heaven. God speaks King. No! That's why I love that we have new translations, clear translations. You know, we can understand the Word of God and get it. You don't have to pray that way. Another thing, people say, well, you know, we'll read that Luther or someone like that used to pray for an hour or 2 hours or 3 hours, or we hear about somebody in the PCA who prays throughout the night. And someone gets up to, you know, to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, and they say, "Now I could hear him praying there in his study out loud to God." And you think, "Oh, that's so holy, that's so godly. I got to do that." And you fall asleep, or you think, "I'm gonna start praying an hour a day. Lord, help me to know how in the world to fill an hour." You don't know how. You don't have an hour. And so we set these goals, these standards that we can't possibly keep. And then we're disappointed in ourselves and say, well, you know, I couldn't pray for an hour, so I don't pray at all, and it'll be okay. And it's not okay. So we make it, either think it's easy and it isn't, or we make it way harder than it has to be. Way harder than it has to be. I loved Daniel's prayer. Right? It's one of the great prayers of the Bible. Look at anything. It's one of the great prayers of the Bible. It is that. But I read a few verses past the end of the prayer because I think it's so important to see what happened. Daniel goes on for quite some time. And it's a beautiful and magnificent prayer. Meanwhile, apparently the angel's standing there waiting for him to finish. Because he says, "Hey, Daniel, you're loved, man. As soon as you started, God sent me. And here I am to answer your prayer. You know, God, you know, it's like, I finished. I have stuff to tell you." So Daniel's going on and on, and God already heard. God already answered. God loved. We don't need long, elaborate prayers. God loves to hear the prayers of his children and loves to answer those prayers. It can be short prayer. That's why I picked the sermon title. And then I found out there's an Aretha song that isn't that. I had in mind the old Dionne Warwick. You know, Hal David, Burt Bacharach song. "The moment I wake up, I say a little prayer for you. You know, as I'm choosing what dress to wear, I say a little prayer for you. When I'm on the bus, I say a little prayer for you." That's what I had in mind, because you can do that. Your prayers don't need to be long and elaborate. It's nice sometimes to do that. To say, you know, I want to follow this structure, you know, the Acts formula or something like that for prayer. I want to do that. It's great to do that. But God stands ready to hear you at all times and in all places. You know, when you get up, before you go to bed, when you're busy. One of the great things that I've heard a number of times, and actually read a couple of times, about Francis Schaeffer, the late Francis Schaeffer, was people who knew him well said he was very, very difficult to talk to on the telephone. And the reason he was difficult to talk to on the telephone is because they said you never were quite sure whether he was talking to you or talking to God. Because he would go right from talking to you to talking to God. You know, they'd be talking about someone. You know, well, I'm very concerned about the logistics for this particular ministry that we're having. And Schaeffer's all of a sudden, "Father, you know the concerns that we have. And would you answer the prayers of this man and bring this thing together and organize it? Now, what else do we need?" You know, and it'd be back to you. He just acted like God was part of the conversation. Because God was part of the conversation for him. He understood that God was always there. He's always listening. We don't need to make an appointment. You know, "All right, God, listen. If you're not busy, tomorrow at 5, you know, I'd like a moment." You know, no, he's always there, always available, always ready to hear. And it doesn't have to be long and elaborate prayers. There are long and elaborate prayers. Daniel's, Jesus' high priestly prayer of John 17, they're magnificent prayers in the Bible. There are also the prayer of Nehemiah. Remember, it's called the arrow prayer. And it doesn't really give us the arrow prayer, but it's when the king says, hey, Nehemiah, why the long face? And Nehemiah understood you're not allowed to be unhappy in the presence of the king. The idea was if you're around the king, you should be happy because you're blessed to be in the presence of the king. And so when the king says, you know, why the long face there, Nehemiah? He says, I prayed to God and I said to the king. Right? I prayed to the Lord and I said to the king. That was not a long prayer. Right? I prayed to the Lord, I said to the king. You know, it wouldn't be, oh, king, you know, give me a minute. You know, Father, you know, the king has asked me why I'm sad. And here I am with this droopy face, and I need an answer to, you know, the king's not going to be going, yeah, whenever you're done, you know, get around. When the king wants an answer, he wants an answer now. And yet Nehemiah prays. He said, I prayed to the Lord, and I said to the king. That was probably the shortest prayer in the history of the world. You know? Lord, help me. But God hears those prayers. And Lord, help me is a very legitimate prayer. And one we often do. So pray when something is on your mind. Pray when something is on your heart. Which brings me to the second thing Paul says about being watchful. Right? Being watchful. What's he mean? He means to be alert, aware, interested, thoughtful. Curious. I mean, it's all of those kind of things. We have the Senior Saints Bible study. They have this practice when they come to a scripture passage, when our book says, you know, read verses, you know, 8 through 32 or something. The way they do that is to go around the room with each person reading a verse. It's very nice. I've come to really appreciate that. It's a nice part of the Bible study. But there's one particular member who always brings a translation known as the Amplified Bible. And so her verses always take three times longer to read than anybody else's and confuse everybody by the time it's done because it uses all these different words. But sometimes it's useful because you don't quite get a concept and they'll give you three other terms for the same concept. And I think that would be useful here, and that's what I'm trying to do. If you think, when he says, and be watchful in prayer, it means to be alert, to be aware, to be interested, to be thoughtful, and to be curious. Right? So you're looking for opportunities to pray. We should pray about that. And you don't stick it away in the back of your mind where you're going to forget about it in 2 minutes. But you can pray about it right then and there. When you're watchful, alert, aware, interested, you find lots of things to pray about. And you don't have to just save them up. You can do that. I know one of my mentors, I think one of the greatest saints I have ever had the privilege of knowing is David Williams, and he keeps elaborate prayer lists. I mean, he told me one time, I was on his every two-week prayer list. He has his daily prayer list, he has his weekly prayer list, he has his bi-weekly prayer list, that's the one I made. You know, as a monthly prayer, and he goes through certain times, he prays for these different things. It's a marvelous technique, it works for him. If it doesn't work for you, it wouldn't work for me. I'd make a list, I'd lose it. I'd need a list of where my lists are. It's better for me to pray right then and there, right? On the spot. Because I just don't have that memory. And even the lists is not that helpful to me. But if it's helpful to you, do it. You know, whatever means works for you. I just encourage you in prayer. But if we are watchful, alert, aware, interested, thoughtful, and curious, we will always have something to talk to our Father about. Always have something to talk to our Father about. And He is ready, willing, and able to hear you. Long prayer, short prayer, many prayers throughout the day. I'd say rather than worrying about setting aside an hour for prayer, that you pray as often as you think of something to pray about. And approach Him wherever you are, whatever you're doing. Secondly, just to move on quickly, I said powerful prayer. Let me make clear, there is no power in our prayers. Right? No power in our prayers. The power is in God. And the power of prayer is that it connects us to a powerful God. A powerful, loving, listening God. A powerful, loving, caring, and concerned Father. Our prayers connect us to that power. Now, if you think about that for just a moment, I think you'd be grateful. And that's what Paul says, isn't it? Be grateful. Be grateful. Be grateful. It's hard not to be if you think of God listening to you. You know, I just taught adult Sunday school. I had a little small room full of people. And I still find it amazing and gratifying that many of you want to hear me and then twice in the same day. I don't want to hear me twice in the same day. You know, and you show up there and you show up here. I am grateful that you're willing to listen to me. I'm even more grateful that the God of all the universe, can you imagine that, is willing to listen to me. As I come to him in Jesus' name, he delights in hearing what I have to say. I find that amazing. It's almost hard to believe. If the scripture didn't say it was true, I'd have trouble believing it's true. But the scripture says it's true. How can you not be grateful? And so with every prayer, you have an attitude of gratitude that God is willing to hear you. God cares. So prayer takes us to God and has God's full attention. Then, remember to pray not only for yourself but for others, which is part of what I meant by the alert and aware and everything interested. You care about others and pray for them. You know, you've probably seen, too, I've seen these lists of, you know, what Christians say and what they mean. You know, one of the things was, I'll pray for you. What they mean is nothing. You know, it's a placeholder. Like, let's do lunch sometime, you know. No. But you should mean it. But even when you mean it, sometimes you forget about it. So find ways to remind yourself, but don't wait. Right? Pray there. Paul wants them to pray for him. They probably, I can't imagine not reading this letter, knowing that Paul was in Ephesus or in Rome in prison, and he says, pray for me. I think I would have stopped right there in the letter and said, let's pray for Paul. Right, let's pray for Paul. And it's so important to do. Stop what you're doing and pray. You don't have to wait. Here's another thing you don't have to do. I was reading somewhere, and I don't remember exactly who this was, but they were talking about praying in restaurants. Sometimes when the server has a few moments, then they would engage them, ask for some things. And if they heard some things about someone's life and it seemed troubling, they said, you know, can I pray for you? And that will get you a bad reaction usually. But this person, whoever he was, I wish I could remember, knew that. And he said, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to kneel down. I'm not even going to close my eyes. I'm going to look right at you and say, Father, I'm right here with Michelle right now. And you know that she's in some trouble and could really use some help. Won't you help her? Won't you bless her? Won't you hear our prayers in Jesus' name? Thank you. And go on. You don't have to close your eyes to pray. You don't have to get on your knees to pray. You don't have to stand up and pray. The Jews thought you had to stand and rise. Some think you have to. You don't have to. God is there. He is real. He is interested. He is loving. He'll hear you. He'll respond to your prayers. Now, quickly, just to finish, the three things that Paul says to pray about, in particular, pray for me, but for what? For opportunities to serve. Right? Open door. What's that? Opportunities to serve. Right? Pray for opportunities to serve. That's probably what some of us don't pray for. Lord, please give opportunities to serve for Brother Michael over here. That's biblical, isn't it? Remember Moses? Lord, here I am. Send Aaron. You know, Lord, open a door of opportunity in Egypt for Aaron. You know, we all want to do that. But Paul says, pray for an open door for me. We should all be praying for opportunities for service, opportunities for ministry for ourselves. Secondly, just to move quickly, prays for clarity of the message. Clarity of the message, which basically, in the Wilson translation, would be, Lord, help me to get out of the way of the message. Right? Help me to get out of the way of the message. Oh, boy. You don't have any lunch plans or anything, do you? No, let me just touch on this, and as Dr. Gershner used to say, give it a lick and a promise. You know, we'll come back to this at some point. But one of the things that I so don't like about so much of evangelism is it teaches you how to give your testimony. You know, well, you know, when I was 18, this happened and that happened and the other thing. And sometimes that's interesting, but by and large, it gets in the way. Your testimony is supposed to be, Jesus is Lord. Let me tell you about Jesus, not let me tell you about me. But I always want to talk about me. I love me. I love to talk about me. I love when you talk about me until you're done, and then I'll talk about me some more, and then you can talk about me, and we're all like that. But we get in the way of the message where we should be talking about Jesus. So Paul says, help me to be clear about the message. And we all need to be clear about the message. When we have opportunities to speak even a word for Christ, to have a clear word for Christ. So pray for opportunities. Pray for clarity. Pray to stay on point, to have a clear message. And thirdly, he says, and help me to do what I should. Right? He says, as I should. Boy, that would be a great prayer. You know? You want to know how to pray for your pastor? There you go. Lord, make him do what he should be doing. So I can be so distracted so easily by so many things and go in so many different directions and try to think, what should I be doing? I have started making actual lists. You know, sometimes put them on my desk and say, I am not leaving today until I accomplish these things. It's the only way I can stay focused. My mind runs in all sorts of directions. So I love this prayer, as I should. So pray for opportunities, pray for clarity, and pray for or staying on task, praying for doing what we should. Boy, that gives us stuff to pray about, doesn't it? If you were thinking earlier, you know, I'd love to pray, but I don't know what to pray. Start there. And you'll find you can fill a few minutes. Trust me. Trust God. Let's pray. Well, Father, we do thank you that you are a prayer-hearing and prayer-answering God. We thank you that we have a great high priest who has opened this way of access so that there is the priesthood of all believers, and we can come with our needs, with our wants, with our praises, with our confession, with our repentance, with our confusion, with our cries for help. Lord, there will be those times when we can fill your ears with so many things. And Lord, there's other times when not much is going on. But Lord, we thank you. You want to hear about both of those. So help us to be more ready in prayer, more diligent in prayer, more faithful in prayer. Help us to come because you've opened the door for us to come and promise to hear as we come, as we do now. In Jesus' name, amen.